Ang Lee's film Brokeback Mountain has garnered strong reactions, ranging from wide praise to condemnation. Beginning in the 60s and spanning 20 years, it's a love story between two cowhands in Wyoming. Our critic at large, John Powers, looks at the responses to the film, including his own, and says that ultimately the film touches on something that's missing from most Hollywood films.
Ever since Brokeback Mountain won the Venice Film Festival last September, this gay cowboy movie, as it's lazily described, has become a cultural landmark. And not unreasonably. This is the first time Hollywood has made a gay love story of the old-fashioned kind, with attractive stars, swooning kisses, and wrenching farewells. While most gay viewers respond warmly to Brokeback Mountain, it has produced some unexpected reactions among those who aren't gay. Some straight critics have complained that there's not enough steamy sex, a charge they didn't level at Titanic. The critics at several Christian media outlets have, to their great credit, reviewed Ang Lee's film as a film, not as a culture war manifesto, praising it for its artistry and emotional power, even as they took issue with the character's homosexuality. At the same time, the movie has also provoked a response I've never seen before, one that suggests our culture's continuing discomfort with gayness. The media have been filled with pieces, including an op-ed by comedian Larry David, either saying, "I don't want to see Brokeback Mountain," or asking whether the refusal to go means you're homophobic. I don't know about you, but I can't remember an op-ed piece about not wanting to see any other movie, or anyone asking if skipping Memoirs of a Geisha means you're secretly a racist. Still, all these abstract arguments overlook the most striking thing about seeing Brokeback Mountain. It makes a lot of people cry. I've never been to a press screening that left more people in tears, myself included, and you can't go to this movie anywhere without hearing sniffling in the audience. For this is essentially the poignant story of how one of the cowboys, Ennis Del Mar, who's played by Heath Ledger, is so overwhelmed by fear and his own impacted emotions that he wrecks his own life and the lives of both his lover Jack Twist and his wife Alma. Here, as Ennis talks to Jack, played by Jake Gyllenhaal, you can see this wreckage in action.
What if you and me had a little ranch somewhere, a little cow and calf operation? It'd be a sweet life. And hell, Lorraine's old man, you better give me a down payment to get lost. I mean, he more or less already said it.
No, I told you it ain't gonna be that way. You know, you got your wife and baby in Texas, and, you know, I got my life in Riverton.
That's so. You and Alma, that's a life.
Oh, you shut up about Alma. This ain't her fault. The bottom line is, we're around each other, and this thing grabs hold of us again in the wrong place, in the wrong time. We're dead.
A story of love and loss, Brokeback Mountain is a real weepy, a kind of movie that used to be hugely popular, but in recent years has been viewed with enormous suspicion, even contempt, by a film culture that dislikes downer emotions, especially those thought to be girly. We may go to the movies to laugh at a cat flushing a toilet, or to be stoked by the spectacle of a huge ape on the Empire State Building, but people are embarrassed to go to a movie in order to cry. It's not hard to understand why. Unlike laughter, crying opens us up. It makes us vulnerable. Vulnerable to the derision of those who aren't crying, and vulnerable to vast oceanic feelings that can all too easily be exploited. But Brokeback Mountain isn't a phone company ad or one of those shameless movies like The Family Stone that seek to milk our emotions by giving mom cancer. It's a tearjerker that doesn't actually jerk our tears. Instead, like last year's Dark Horse Oscar winner, Million Dollar Baby, it takes the stuff of a potboiler and treats it with great restraint. The brilliance of Ledger's performance is that he suggests so much painfully burning emotion beneath his frozen surface that much of the audience does the weeping that he cannot. They weep for him, for those close to him, and, one suspects, for the many forms of sadness in their own lives. I find something deeply satisfying in such tears. A feeling of collective abandonment that was once a big part of going to the movies. And I'm not the only one. The desire for that feeling clearly remains. That's why, even though Hollywood makes very few weepies these days, the accomplished ones it does produce, from Titanic to Million Dollar Baby to Brokeback Mountain take on a far greater resonance than anyone ever anticipates. In a world that's forever telling us that we ought to be cool, these movies tell us it's okay to feel something. They make it okay to cry.
John Powers is film critic for Vogue. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our engineer is Audrey Bentham. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Roberta Shorrock directs the show. WHYY's executive producer of national radio programming is Elizabeth Perez Luna. Our theme music was composed by Joel Forrester and performed by the Microscopic Septet. For Terry Gross, I'm Dave Davies. We'll end today's show with a track from the singer Lou Rawls. He died this morning of cancer. He was 72.
They call it Stormy Monday, but Tuesday's just as bad. They call it Stormy Monday, but Tuesday's just as bad. Wednesday's worse, Thursday's all so sad. Yes, the eagle flies on Friday, Saturday I go out to play. Yes, the eagle flies on Friday, Saturday I go out to play. And then on Sunday I go to church and I kneel down and pray. Lord have mercy on me. Oh, Lord have mercy on me. Lord have mercy, my heart's in misery. You know I'm crazy about my baby, won't you send my baby back to me? Ooh-wee, crazy about my baby, won't you send my baby back to me? Oh, have mercy, send her home to me.